Absolutely. Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Last third of the daf. Ahuda Nachish Kamed Rabbi Hanina. Ahuda Nachish Kamed Rabbi Hanina. Omar Hokel Hagodol Hagibor Vanoro Vahadir Vahizuz Vahayorui Hachosak Vahamitz Vahavadai Vahanichbot Himtin Lo Adesiyin. Rabbi Hanina waited for this person to finish all of these shvachim of the Rabbanu Shalom. Kisiyem Omerle Samtinu Lekula Shvachi Demorech. Did you finish all of the praises of the Rabbanu Shalom? So he said to him, Lama Likule Hai, why so much? Anan Honi Klas the Amrinu, he loved Amrinu Moshe Rabbeinu Beoraisa. The Osu Anshek Esagdola Vitakninu Vitfila, Lo Havinin Yecholin Le Neymar. Lohu. Right, to say shvachim of the Rabbanu Shalom is only because in the Torah it says that these are shvachim you can say, and it says these three and doesn't say more. If Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have said them, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola wouldn't have put them into tefillah, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vanora, we couldn't have said those either, because you are minimizing the shevach of the Rabbanu Shalom, whatever you say. The Ad Amris Kulei Hai, and you're saying so much. The Ozlas, you continue going. Marshal of Melech Bosser Adam, show you Elef Alofim Dinrei Zohav. A king had hundreds of thousands or millions of Dinrei Zohav. Voyim Akalsin also Bishol Kesef. And they praised him that he had Kesef. Fahalo Ginai Hulo, wouldn't that itself be a Ginai? Even if they say it's the same amount of coins, but with a different quality of coins will be a Ginai. Koshkein, where you're minimizing the quantity and the quality. The Marsha says, what's the Kesef and Zohav? Should have said that the person has millions of coins and you praise him, he has thousands. So you're minimizing the quantity. Why the quality? Because since in the Torah, Hakel, Hagod, Lagivar, Vanor is mentioned specifically, any other Shevach is like silver to gold. So not only are you quantity-wise minimizing the Shevach of the Rabbanu Shalom, quality-wise also, by adding all these other ones, the ones that the Torah mentions specifically are the golden ones, and these are the silver ones. Rashi. Damrinu Moshe, Ilav Damrinu Moshe, Hakel Hagodol Hagibor Vanora, Asher Lo Yisa Ponim Velo Yikach Shochat. Right there it says, what's it called, in Devarim Yud, these Shvachim that Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned specifically, V'takninu B'tfila, Kishispal Ezra, Al Mo'al Hagola, the Sefer Ezra, so he also mentioned these Shvachim of the Rabbanu Shalom. So those, for some reason, the Torah said, are okay to say, even though they're only a part of the Shevach of the Rabbanu Shalom. Okay. Here, two things about being Mosif in Shevach, because we do say a lot of Piyutim and a lot of different Tfilos that have a million other Shvachim of the Rabbanu Shalom. To say Aderes Vemuna and all these other things. So Rav Hai Gon says it's only Osir if you do it in Tefillah. The Rosh also holds like that, because in Tefillah you're being Mosif on what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola were Mesaken, and that in itself is Osir. But if you want to, in your own Tachanunim, add Shevach to the Rabbanu Shalom, that's Mutar. It's only the Isser is not because you are praising the Rabbanu Shalom too much. The Isser is because it's specifically in Tefillah, and in Tefillah you have to do the Nusach of Tefillah and not something extra. The Maria Buav says a different idea, not so much Tefillah or not Tefillah, but it depends if you're doing it B'Lashon Bakasha. If you're trying to ask for something to the Rabbanu Shalom, then you can praise him as much as you want. But Stam in Tefillah, Stam because you are describing the Rabbanu Shalom, you're not doing it because of your supplication. You're doing it to describe the Rabbanu Shalom. That's what's awesome. The Madonna Yontif says, according to this Tam, that if you're doing it to ask things from the Rabbanu Shalom, not just to describe him, you'll be mutter. Then in the middle brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, should be mutter to add as many to'arim as you want, because they are bakashas. How he says, however, he says there the other reason kicks in, that you're changing the tefillah. So you can't, in tefillah, whether it's bakasha or not, you can't add to'arim, either because you're changing the tefillah, or because in tefillah itself, stop, shevach of the Rabbanu Shalom is not a proper thing. But if it's a bakasha and it's not in tefillah, it's like the tachanunim after davening or something like that, you want to compose your own tefillah, whatever. It's not part of tefillah, and it's not shevach. It's tachanunim. Then both of those reasons would permit it. The Rav Yoh says that it's dafka b'tzibur that's awesome, but and in tefillah, but b'yachid is mutter, even b'tefillah, and. The Rambam of Maisha holds that it's also b'yachid, it's also even it's not b'tfilah, and therefore the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim has a whole diatribe against the Paitonim, against Piyutim Bechlau, for other reasons too, but this is one of the reasons, that the Piyutim add tremendous amounts of Ta'arim to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and that's not proper, no matter where the Piyut is said. The Ramah and the Mechaber Paskin, like the Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's only Osir B'tfilah, and Tachanunim or whatever, Piyutim, is okay, as long as you're not adding Shmon Esrei. And the Rambam holds that, not like the Rambam, and like we said already, the Rambam holds that those things are also Osir. They also say that it's only if you add Ta'arim. There's a difference between descriptive names of the Rabbanu Shalom, adjectives of the Rabbanu Shalom. That's what this is talking about over here, it's Osir. But Ribui Shevach, you say things the Rabbanu Shalom did, Nisim, Niflos, those kinds of things, there's no Isser at all. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that that's okay, but if you do it, you should use Psukim. That makes it more easy to be matter, to mention Psukim that speak about what things the Rabbanu Shalom did. So if you're going to add into Tfilos, into personal Tfilos or whatever, Ribui Shevach of the Rabbanu Shalom, not Ta'arim, not descriptions of the Rabbanu Shalom, but things that he did, you should do it derech psukim. And the Ra'or says that speaking about the ribuy of niflos, shevach of the Rabban, some things that he did, that's the whole Sefer Tillim is filled with that. You can't say that something like that would be awesome. Okay, one. Ra'omar Rabbi Hanina, hakol bidei shomayim chutz miyirah shomayim. Everything is in the hands of the Rabbanu Shel Olam except for Yerushalayim. Shenemar v'ata Yisrael mo Hashem Elokecha shoel nimoch kiim liyira. The Rabbanu Shel Olam asks you for Yerushalayim. It's not something that he provides, something you have to provide. Shemara says, atu Yerushalayim milsa zuprasahi. But it sounds like it's a small thing. He's asking for it. But what is the Rabbanu Shel Olam asking? It's just a small thing called Yerushalayim. Omer Rabbi Chanina mishum Rav Shim ben Yochai ein lo lakadosh baruch hu v'deis genozov ela otzer shel Yerushalayim. Shenemar Yerus Hashem hi otzaro. Right, Yerushalayim is a very precious thing. It's a very difficult thing. That's why the Rabbanu Shalom has that alone in his storehouses, in his treasure house. So it must be a very precious thing. So why should the Torah make it sound like it's a nothing? Mo Hashem, what does the Rabbanu Shalom have? Only Yerushalayim. Shemar says, in legavi Moshe milsa zutra sahib. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerushalayim was a small thing. Domre b'chanina, Moshe lo adam shemavakshim menu kli gadol, v'yeshlo, dom olof ki kli kot. If you have something that's expensive, but you have it, so it's no big deal. And if you have something that's not expensive and you don't have it, that's a big deal. So if you have something for you, it's a small thing. So everybody asks, Lamaisa, that's very nice. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't talking to himself, he was talking to Klaus. So why would the Torah say that Yerushalayim is a small thing if it's talking, what's it called, to Klaus and not to Moshe Rabbeinu? For Moshe Rabbeinu was a small thing. But he's speaking to them. So the Parsha Teres Oli Bali Musar say, who also says that the Maggid, I think, said, but everybody says the same idea, that in a generation where there's a Moshe Rabbeinu, who to him, Yerushalayim, is a small thing, the hashpa that Moshe Rabbeinu has on the generation, even for them, they realize it's a small thing. And the Marsha says a different idea. He says there's two kinds of Yerushalayim. There's a Yerushalayim that's more instinctive. You're afraid of getting punished. That's a more instinctive kind of Yerushalayim. Then there's a Yerushalayim of Yiras Haromimus, of awe of the Rabbanu Shalom, where you're not afraid of punishment at all. You just stand in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the more difficult one. That's the one the Rabbanu Shalom has in his base Genosov. So the Marsha says that, yes, Legabi Moshe Rabbeinu Milsa Zutrasa does not mean that Moshe Rabbeinu's Yerushalayim was a small thing to him. It means a different thing completely. It means that Klal Yisrael had an inkling of this higher level of Yerushalayim, and it came easy to them too by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Or they had a Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain with his face shining with the Kvod HaShchina. It says they had that fear to approach him. That was a fear of awe. It wasn't a fear of punishment. They weren't afraid Moshe was going to punish them. It was an awe. So the Gabi Moshe Rabbeinu, they had that fear, and it was easy then to transfer it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in that generation, the people were trained with that fear of awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam by having that same fear of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how the Marsha learns. See Rashi. Hakol bidei shamayim, kol habol al ha'adam, biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens is Ratzon Hashem. Nothing in this world happens that's not Ratzon Hashem. Kigon oruch kotzer on the usher, whatever a person is the framework that is given to him to begin with, whether he's going to be tall or short or poor or rich or wise or stupid. And this chacham and shota means an IQ. If you have a high IQ, a low IQ, love on shachar, is white, black, tzaddik, what's it called? Shavar kol bidei shamayim. All of that is decreed by shamayim. Aval tzaddik v'rasha eino bo al yidei shamayim. But whether the person is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, that's not decreed on a person. As zu maser b'yado shel adam, that the Rebbeinu Shel put it totally into the hands of a person. V'nasan lefanav shnei drachim, and he gave him two paths. What the path is, the Rebbeinu Shel decides, but he gave him two. You can decide with the framework that you have. You're going to use it for the good or use it for the bad. For who yivchar lo yirah shamayim, he should choose the path of yirah shamayim. But the paths, the Rebbeinu Shel is koveh. A path you're going to have, but you have always a choice of two paths. You could do it one way or the other way. The Tosfos in other places, not here, asks, there's another Maimer Chazal, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim pachim. Everything's in the hand of shamayim except for colds and heat. As if you choose to bring sickness upon yourself by staying out in the cold, or being in a place that's too hot, that you can bring upon yourself. You can put yourself in a makom sakana or whatever and change your din. That's not bidei shamayim. That's up to you. So I saw the Bina Le'itim, says a cute pshat. He says, really, as Satosa says, the Chara here says, one is talking about things you can do naturally, and one is talking about yirah shamayim. One is talking about the framework within a person has to function, and the other one's talking about different things, talking about things that come on a person. So they are tzinim upachim, you can bring upon yourself. But the Bina Le'itim says they're both the same thing. That sometimes a person has to cool himself off from being too hot and doing averis, and sometimes a person has to heat himself up in order to do mitzvahs. So it's the same exact thing. What's yirah shamayim? Cooling yourself off from averis or heating yourself up from mitzvahs. So the same thing. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim pachim. Everything's in the shamayim except if you cool yourself off or you heat yourself up, which means yirah shamayim. So the Mam is saying the same thing. Okay, let's go on. Moldim moldim mishaskin also. If a person says moldim twice, then we keep him quiet because it sounds like he's thanking two different gods. Omrib zera. Kol ha'omer shma shma ka'omer modim modim. If you say shma shma, you say shma twice, it's like saying modim modim. And what's it called? Meshaskin also. You keep, make the person keep quiet. Meisve ha'kori yishma v'kofla harizem megunim. If a person reads shma and repeats it, so he's saying shma shma l'chore, so that's meguna. It's not nice. But it's not meshaskin also. Meguna hu to have it. Shuke lo meshaskin le. It's just not nice, but it's not something that you make the person stop saying. Right? It sounds like it's apikursis. Where's Lokasha? Hada Amr Milsa, Milsa Vitanila, but Hada Amr Psuka Psuke Vitanila. It makes a difference whether you said, you doubled the words, Shma, Shma, Yisrael, Yisrael, and so on, or you double the whole pasuk. You said, Shma, Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad, and you said it again. So Rashi learns, Milsa, Milsa Vitanila, called teva v'teva chozer v'shon me'meguna havi. If you repeat the words, right, shma shma Yisrael Yisrael, that's only meguna. It's not nice. It sounds crazy, right? But it's not meshaskin also. It doesn't sound lo meshaskin le. Shein zedoma the makabel of shtei malchuyos. It's not like you're makabel shtei malchus shomai. Just I'm saying a crazy thing. Shma shma Yisrael Yisrael. So it's not nice, but you're not meshaskin also because it doesn't sound like something awesome. Ella lemislotze. Sounds like you're making jokes. Omer pasuk shalim the tanile. But if you said the whole pasuk and then said it again, then it looks like you're makabel omachlu shamayim twice. And if there's two omachlu shamayims, that means there's two shamayims. There's two rabbanu shaloms. Veshaskin lay the mezik shtei reshuyos. Then it looks like two gods. Tosfos, on the other hand, says just the opposite. Tosfos says that if you say the whole pasuk twice, that's meguna. It's not nice. But it's not that's not the thing that's osur that meshaskin osur. If you say every word twice, then it's taka osur and meshaskin osur. And Tosfos himself says that the Gemara is more mashma like Rashi, Rashi's pshat. Because first the Gemara is what's it called? When Gemara says ha da omar, and then ha da omar, right? Lechora first, it's going on the, what's it called, on the Braisa, what it just finished on, right? And then it says, what's it called, on the Mishnah, right? Call it Rav Zeru, call it Omer Shma Shma, Omer Moldim Moldim. And then it explains the Braisa, it says only Meguna. So it says, if you say, what's it called, word by word, that's what Rav Zeru was talking about. That came first. If you say Psuka Psuka, then that's what the Braisa is talking about, it's only Meguna. So that's one way of learning Tosfos. Keset Mishnah, I think, says like that it's more mashma like Rashi, that the first thing is what the Gemara explains first, and the second thing is what the Gemara explains second. The Gra says another shot, why Tosfos says, Lechem Mishnah says the first one. The Gra says, why is it mashma like Rashi? Because the when Reb Zeira said, Kol Ha'omer Shma Shma, right, he said it without saying it b'loshon nekeva. The Braisa says ha'omer shma v'kofla, referred to shma b'loshon nekeva, kofla. Okay, in the what's it called, in the explanation, so it says ha'omer milsa milsa v'tanila in loshon nekeva. That's where you said word by word v'tanila in loshon nekeva, and you repeated it, and ha'omer psuka psuka v'tanile b'loshon zachar. So the fact that it uses Lashon Nekeva goes better with what the Braisa said. And when it says Lashon Zachar, goes better with what Reb Zeira said. Okay.
There are times that we
didn't. It's not really true. There's no times that we say Shema twice. That we do it. We don't do it. Okay. So let's see here what's here, Lamais. Rashi and also the Tosfos Rid say that, like we said, if you say the whole pasuk, that's what's asur, and just if you say word by word, double it, that's meguna. And the Rabbeinu Hananel, the Bahag, and Tosfos say that if you say word by word, that's what's asur, and the whole pasuk is only meguna. The reason the Rabbeinu Manoach explains Tosfos, right? Rashi says his reason. Why the whole pasuk is asur? Because it sounds like you're accepting two reshuyos. What's the reason in Tosfos? He says, if you say a whole pasuk again, so it's no raya that you hold as two gods. Maybe you didn't have kavana the first time. But if you say the words, that can't be, you can have kavana, shma, shma, Yisrael, Yisrael, there attaka sounds like you're speaking to two gods, not because you didn't have kavana. The Shulchan Aruch says that you should be choshish for both perushim, never shouldn't do either one. Either also because meguna, anyway. Whatever it is, at least it's meguna, but it could be it's asr. So since we have two different possibilities of what's asr, you surely should be choshish that both are asr. But Shaila now is, okay, so we know that saying the first pasuk of Shema, either way, shouldn't do. What about the whole parsha with Shema? Say the whole parsha of Shema over and over again. So the Rabbeinu Manoach says, in that is ein meshaskin also, mashma still meguna. It's not a proper thing to do, to even say the whole parsha of Shema a second time, with Shema. The Yerushalmi says that you're allowed to say Shema and the first parsha over and over again until you fall asleep by Kriya Shema Shalmita. If you want to, it makes you fall asleep, you can keep saying it over and over again until you fall asleep. And the Keset Mishnah says maybe that's only a special halacha by Kriya Shema Shalamita, but not by other things. Other Kriya Shemas you can't say even the whole Parsha again. And the Smak holds its mutter to say the whole Parsha twice is okay. The Maria Abuov says only mutter if you leave out the first Pasuk. Because even to say the first pasuk twice as part of the whole parsha is awesome. And the Shulchan Aruch taka pasuk like that. First of all, it's only mutter b'kriya shma shalamita, and it's only mutter, the Magen Avraham says, without the first pasuk. So you can keep saying v'yohafta over and over again by kriya shma shalamita, but not with the shma. And only by kriya shma shalamita, not stop. What about the other psukim of kriya shma? Not shma, not the, or saying the parsha over without shma. So the Kolbo and the Smak say that it's mutter, and the Shulchan Aruch Taka says like that. Other psukim you can repeat over and over again by Kriyashma, as long as not the first pasuk. And the Mishnah Berurah, however, says, he's medayik from a rith, that even other psukim in Kriyashma, any psukim in Kriyashma, you can't say over and over again. The Rushalmi, Tosas brings down here, it says it's only B'tzibur that it's awesome. But B'yochid, it's like Tachanunim, you can say any of the psukim. And the Torah says the halacha is not like that. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, also says no difference between Tzibur and Yochid. You're not allowed to say Shema over again. The Bach, however, passes like the Yerushalmi, and he says the difference is if other people hear you or not. It doesn't have to do with Tzibur and Yochid. It has to do, is anybody listening? Then you can't do it. If you're the only one listening, the only one who hears it, right, either because you're B'yochid or you're saying it so low that no one else can hear, then it's mutter to say it over and over again. Because you know you're not being mekabel two gods, and it doesn't sound like to other people because nobody else hears anything. So the Bach holds that if it's silent, right, or nobody's around, that's okay. Now, therefore, what's the problem is, what happens if you said Kriya Shema and you weren't mechaber? So you have to say it again, as kavana. So the Kesef Mishnah says, you say it again. Better you should do something meguna and be yotze than not. That's what's it called? That's Kesef Mishnah. The Igros Moshe says, but that's only if it's Meguna, not if some Shaskin also. You can't do something Osir to be Yotze again. So he says, therefore, we have a problem, because we don't know which one is really Osir. Now, if you say it word by word, or if you say it the whole Pasuk. And according to Tosus, according to Rashi, if you say the whole Pasuk, it's Mishaskin also. So according to that, you couldn't go back. So there are other ways of getting around that. According to the Bach, that saying it low is always Mutter. So the second time you say it low, that nobody else hears it. According to the Taz, you should wait a little while. It's only Osir if you say it mamish one after the other. But if you wait a little while and there's a hefsik between them, then it's okay. So wait a few minutes. I don't know if you have to wait minutes, but wait a time where it's not mamish one after the other, and then you could say it again. And the Magen Avraham, the Chayodim says, according to those that say you could say the whole parsha more than once, so the best thing to do is say the whole parsha again, not just the pasuk of Shema, but read the parasha and then say the whole thing again. Okay, when it's not Kriyashma Shalcho, all of this is talking about where you're saying Kriyashma is Kriyashma. What happens stam to say these psukim? Not in Kriyashma. Right, Kriyashma, but not for Kriyashma. So the Tosis over here brings down, the next Amud, that there was a minig to say Shma more than once, Motsayim Kippur. Like we say Baruch Shem Kavod more than once. And Hashem Elokim, they said Shma also more than once. Our meaning is not to say Shema more than once. We just say Shema once. There's no time that we say Shema more than once, except in Slichos, there's a Slicha that repeats Shema, but it's not over and over again. It's with things in between. We just say it, but you don't repeat it one after the other. So he holds, it used to be Slichos and Motzei Yom Kippur, where they said Shema more than once, and Tosfos says you shouldn't do that. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's mutter there. Why? Because it's only Osir, even B'tzibur, or even B'yachid, if a Yachid says it as in the Tzibur. But if the whole Tzibur says it together, we're not choshish, the whole Tzibur is praying to two gods. So therefore, what's it called? The whole Tzibur is allowed to say it, and with the place where the minig was to say Shema more than once, which again, we don't have, it was okay to do. The Reiser Leon says it depends. According to the Shita that holds that saying the whole Pasuk is Osir, then you have to move out to the minig. But according to the Shita that holds saying the whole Pasuk is just Meguna, and not Osir, then if the minig was like that, it's okay to do the minig, and it's not Meguna in the Tzibur. The Mechaber Lamaisa Paskins, that in Slichos and Motzei Yom Kippur, you shouldn't say Shema more than once, over and over. And the Magen Avraham brings down that in Slichos there is a minig. He brings down a minig. Every time you say Hashem, Hashem, he said Shema too. Shema Yisrael and Hashem Hashem. But he said, there is no problem, because you're not saying it one time right after the other. You're saying it many times, but with a hefsik between. So that's no problem at all. Okay. Go on.
What about a popular song that people sing Shema Yisrael over and over again?
Yeah, Lachari, not allowed to do that. Okay. Go on. Omer le Rav Papa Labai, except, and again, this is Lamed Schus, that it's what's it called, that it's not the Tzibur, right? If you're singing it yourself, or whatever. But according to all these other reasons, it applies to that as much as anything else.
What?
You say Hashem. Yeah, maybe that is also a reason why now you're not saying the Pasuk. Yeah, that should also be okay. Except if you hold that saying, you're not saying each word also. You say each word, then it would make a difference. As we're saying Shema, Shema is a problem. But if you hold that saying the whole Pasuk is the problem, he didn't say the whole Pasuk. He said Hashem. That should be okay. Omar later, Papa Labaya, the Dilma Mikora Lokiven Daite, Uvasokiven Daite. Right? Maybe the person didn't have Kavana to begin with, and now he has Kavana. So that's why he's saying it over. Omar Lei, Chavrusa Klape Shmaya. You're making a Chavrusa, you're treating the Rabban Shalom like your friend, right? That you say things that you don't have Kavana, and then you have Kavana again. Mika. If the person didn't have kavanah to begin with, we hit him with some kind of thing from a blacksmith until he's machaven his das. Rashi says a cornice, hit him with an anvil. Yeah. Rashi chavrusa klape shmaya minig shenoeg odem bechaveiro. You treat the rabbanu like your friend. Hey, right? You shouldn't have kavanah the first time. Eitzel amakom v'lo yizor b'tfiloso. In other words, the mice that sometimes it happens, but the Mer is saying such a thing shouldn't happen. Okay. Machin and Lei, Kaloma, and the Ramar shows a different shot, Chavrusa Klape Shmaya. It's like you're making two gods. You're making God have a Chavrusa. Right? So the fact that you aren't Mechavin and you have to repeat it, it appears like you're making the Rabbanu Shalom have a Chavrusa. Machin and Lei, Kaloma, Melam Dimoso Shechavin. We teach him to have Kavana. How do you teach a person to have Kavana? He does it, we hit him with an anvil. The Marzafta cornice, the Tosimus Hamakevis Biyoda, the hammer that the guy hits on the. No, the anvil is the thing you hit on. Right? The hammer that you hit on the anvil is a hammer, I guess. So that's the Makevis Biyoda, Metagramina Marzafta, that's the hammer. So you hit him with a hammer, then a blacksmith hammer. It's a Starka hammer. Okay, let's go on. Ha'omer b'vorchucha tovim hareza darkei minus. Okay, ha'over lefnei ha'teva v'ta. If a person is davening for the Amid and he made a mistake, we'll see in 1 second what the mistake was. Yavar acher tachta. So you put in a pinch hitter, right? A stand-in for him because he can't, obviously the guy can't go on. He doesn't know how to go on. The lo ye sarvim bosashon. The guy they asked to take his place should not, what's it called, refuse. He should go immediately. Mehechen hu maskel, where does he start from? Mitchilas habracha shetozeh. From back from the beginning of the bracha where this guy got stuck. So the guy got stuck in the middle of atachone. He doesn't know how to finish the bracha. And again, we're talking in a case where they didn't have a siddur. So person got mixed up and he couldn't go on. He couldn't remember how to say the bracha. Today, what would be, the guy got sick in the middle, right? He had to run to the bathroom, something, right, that he couldn't continue on, right? Fainted in the middle of davening. So then we've seen the same halach. But Torah today doesn't really apply. You just look in the siddur and see what to do. So zeh ha'over lefnei ha'teva, mitrilas baruch shetor zeh, ha'over lefnei ha'teva, lo yana omen achra kohanim, person is shliach tzibur, should not answer omen after the kohanim, because if he answers amen, we're afraid that he won't be able to go back and get the flow of his davening. Okay, and we'll see which amens. There's a few amens over here. There's amens to the Yivarechecha, and there's amens to the bracha of the Vorech Esamo Yisro B'Ava. Which amens is it talking about? The Ein Shom Kohen Elohu, Lo Yisos Kappa. If there's no other Kohen besides him, right, then he should not do it. You have to chosu shu no se es kapa v'chosu l'tzvi l'osu rishai. But if he's sure, but he can duchen, and then go back to the flow of davening. He won't get mixed up, right? Then the shliach tzibur can be no sekapov, at least in the case where there's no other kohen. That's what we know. He's talking where there's no other kohen except for him. Still, he shouldn't be no sekapov. There won't be duchening if he knows, if he's not sure if he can go back to daven. But if he's sure he can daven, then he could duchen. But it seems from the Mishnah only in that case where there's no other kohen. Okay, we'll see. But then we get to the Gemara. Rash. The lo ye sarvin bo susha, lefisha shar yodim lefnei ateva, kisha omrim lo leich reid, sorech lesari, pamachas, kolomer eini kedai lekach, kedamrin lekambam b'shmaisin, as the Gemara is going to say. Other people, when you ask them to daven, they should be reticent to daven. First time they should say no, second time I'm not roy, right? Not no, but I don't really think, find somebody more fitting, right? That this person should not hesitate. It's in the middle of tefillah now, so it's a gnai for the tefillah if they're sitting around and waiting for a new chas. So Rashi learns what was the toast. Not like we said that it's somebody forgot what they're doing in the middle of the bracha. He forgot one of the brachas. And the guy left out a bracha, and then the tzibur woke up, and they realized, hey, the guy forgot shlach lano, right? He went and skipped the bracha. The omer acheres, the enu yodei lo shuv, and he doesn't know how to go back. Now he's all mixed up. The lecho sidro, so yaschil over tachtov osa bracha shadileg zeh, the omer mishon lahalon. So the person who takes over for him starts from that bracha and goes in the order from there on. That's how Rashi says in the Mishnah. But he doesn't just say that bracha and then go on for he was. For instance, they find out when he's saying Alat Tzadikim that he forgot Slach Lanu. So you don't just say Slach Lanu and then go back to Virushalayim Ircha, right? But you say Slach Lanu and go with all the brachas after that in order. That's what Rashi says in the Mishnah. So it's very difficult from what Rashi says in the Gemara. But that's what Rashi says in the Mishnah. Lo yada omein achra kohanim, hashatz besof kol bracha bracha. So Rashi learns, the omein that the shatz should not say is the omein after each bracha, after yivarechecha, after yoyer, the chazan does not answer omein to birkas kohanim. Mipnei hatiruf, shlo titruf daito, the yitel, he shouldn't get mixed up. V'vishe shatz hu tzorech lahasko bracha shniyah. The lomer lefnei kohanim kol teva v'teva. Because the shliach tzibur has to say the words before the kohanim say them, right? He has to be makra. And by the way, the halacha is that the makra has to say it as loud as the kohanim. He has to say it the kol ram, not like the toast that people make, that the makra says it if it's low, right, in a falsetto voice, like chazanim do or whatever. It has to be said loud, right? Omer lohem the kol ram. That same thing that the kohanim say, that's how the chazan has to say. Because he has to say it out loud. And he's going to get mixed up. He answers Amen, right? So he's going to get mixed up where he's holding. Yivarechecha, Yoyer, Yosem, what's it called? Yayisa. So therefore, he should not answer Amen, and he keep his mind on the next thing he has to say. Kedamri Masechus Sota. Vanoso Amen, lo yuchal lechavin maher, lahaskul bebrochus lachra. He answers Amen, he's going to have to start thinking, and he may get mixed up. And you can imagine davening without a sitter, bechlau. Okay, it's confusing. Okay, you lose your train of thought. In ein shom kohen elohu hachazan, if he's the only kohen there, lo yisus kapov shemel yuchal lazor l'tfilaso, right? Lo das lechavin lahaskel b'shim shalom. Then he shouldn't duchen because we're afraid he'll get confused and he won't be able to continue on sim shalom. He's going to get, what's it called? Now he has to duchen, so he's going to have this fear of the tzibur, and that's going to make him not think straight. But if he knows he's going to be able to concentrate and know how to continue on, sim shalom, me'imas tzibur, he's not going to get confused from the tzibur. Then he can duchen, and he'll daven normal. But he has to be that he knows he's not going to get mixed up. Okay. Stop here and we'll go on some more.